24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. Good morning. Hour number two on this Monday, the 13th day of May, 2024. Glad you are here. So, Patriot Mobile text line crackling to life as we take a look at 866-660-5759 is the way you call us. That's the way you text us. We're very, very glad to have you here either way. And as our segment with Mike came to an end, some folks were wondering if things are indeed starting to skew. Are we peaking? Is Trump peaking too early? Here we are in the middle of May, just inside six months to the actual election that can save our country's bacon, that can rescue our hide from another dreadful Biden term or whomever. I mean, if they really do pull the old switcheroo and give us Gavin Newsom, if they give us anybody else, it's the same policies just offered up by somebody who can finish a sentence in the English language or stay awake all day. It's not like, oh, at least it won't be Biden. It'll be the precise same policies, the same abandonment of Israel, the same climate extremism, the same high taxes, the same profligate spending, the same open borders. It's all going to be the same. So it doesn't matter whom the Democrat Party coughs up. The policies are going to be dreadful. And the polls are indicating that maybe the country is starting to get a whiff of that reality. And it's funny, if things were not going our way, we would be nervous and skittish and downtrodden. Things do seem to be going our way, so we are nervous and skittish and downtrodden. Maybe not downtrodden, just cautiously optimistic even work, because it is May. And here are the impediments to outright optimism, and many of them make sense. And in fact, I'm okay with many of them, because there's a weird thing that happens with optimism, and a lot of people look back at 22, you know, why didn't the red wave happen? We expected the red wave. That's the way it usually goes midway through a fresh president of one party. The other party picks up big, and we just did not do that. Is it possible that we are overestimating our appeal again? Well, there was no Trump on the ballot in 2022. Abortion was on the ballot in 2022 in terms of candidates running from, running away from the overturning of Roe v. Wade, et cetera, et cetera. We've had two more years. By the time everybody gathers in November to vote, we will have had two more years to get used to every state doing what it wants to do. And I have a feeling that fewer people will be freaking out about that. At least I hope so. I am also hopeful that we do not have a bunch of Republican candidates running who distance from their pro-life passions because they think the country has somehow gone radically pro-choice in a pendulum swing toward baby killing, which, speaking of baby killing, I'm sorry to be so graphic, but A, that's what it is. And B, you need to know the Biden-Harris campaign. Did you catch their Mother's Day message? Hey, moms, for this Mother's Day, here's what we want you to do. Get out there and protect all the moms from Trump. What? I mean, okay, I get that as far as it goes. It's an election year and blah, blah, blah. But what do women need to be protected? What do moms, again, moms need to be protected from? Those terrible policies that Trump and Republicans offer that will do the horrific thing of protecting babies. The Biden-Harris campaign message on Mother's Day, their choice was to lament that not enough mothers will be able to commit infanticide. What a touching, heartwarming thing for the Biden-Harris campaign to do. Got to tell you, those guys are tone perfect. Anyway, though, as poll after poll, swing state after swing state heads our way, what it's, a lot of folks seem to be of the mood, how are we going to screw this up? And we might, which is why I always want to campaign and behave and position and strategize as if we're 5 points behind in every state. Because if you don't, there's a chance that you get fat, you get lazy, you start to rest on the laurels, and we cannot have that. So we need to be on message. We need to make sure that we keep conservative voters excited. We keep them consistently motivated to vote up and down the ballot, which is why it has been a little bit of an annoyance. It's not keeping me awake at night or anything like this, but these geniuses saying, hey, let's run them with Tulsi Gabbard. Yeah, how about no? Hey, let's run them with RFK Jr. No. It needs to be a running mate for Trump that excites conservatives as much as he does. Well, nobody does as much as he does. That at least has a commensurate, a proportional, a complementary appeal to conservatives. That's why, again, J.D. Vance, Ron DeSantis, please. DeSantis could just, even this past weekend, DeSantis had some things to say about these goofy protesters. He's just, and he and Trump have apparently made up, so can we just please clear the decks and do that? Maybe another Floridian, Byron Donalds. And I know if it's either Floridian, Trump has to change his legal residence. And where would he change it to? New York. There's a certain poetry to that. There's a certain poetry. And so that we can be constitutionally clear, it's not because two guys cannot run from the same state. It's that electors cannot vote for the president and vice president from the same state. And Florida has a good passel of electors, so you don't want to give that up. That's why Cheney had to change his residency from Texas to Wyoming. I miss the Dick Cheney of old. How I do miss him. And his daughter. At least you think his daughter's pretty cool, too. Trump broke a lot of people. He broke a lot of people. But in so doing, clarity and the necessity of heading in some directions against the will of an entrenched establishment and some people who just can't handle the way things need to be. It took a long time to get this country this screwed up. It wasn't just Biden. It wasn't just Obama. We've been at this for decades. The Great Society, expansionist, collectivist government. You know, it's not like Reagan fixed everything. He stopped the insanity, and God bless him, he was great and brought clarity to the world stage. And it was like, fending off disaster. But now we're actually trying to reverse disasters. You know, the Reagan election saved us from Jimmy Carter. Carter looks positively harmless compared to the Obama legacy. And Obama looks like Churchill compared to Biden sometimes. And yes, I'm intentionally overstating that. But everything is relative. This is the worst presidency of my lifetime by far. And that makes this the most important election of my lifetime by far. Trump helped us dodge the bullet of Hillary Clinton. We're looking to dodge a cannonball now if these people stay in charge. And it seems like a lot of people are figuring this out. And that's inspiring, and that is uplifting, and it makes me think that a lot of really good things are positive if we don't get lazy, if we don't rest on our laurels, if we take this kind of energy that you could see with 80 to 100,000 voters in a blue state showing up for Trump. And as more and more people, as we let me take the pause here because I want to tell you a little bit of what's going to be happening in this trial, because If we have like lists under construction of things that can go wrong and things that can go right, one of them is like both at the same time. The trial is very, very wrong. And yet he is stepping onto the field that they have striped, his tormentors, his persecution prosecutors, and he's playing by his own rules and turning even that into a positive. And now, as the most mockable witness in the entire Trump trial, Michael Cohen gets ready to take the stand. Let me tell you how that might go. 866-660-5759 via Scan of Las Colinas text line. Same thing. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 819. not a bad 30-year-old record. From that enormous selling Hootie and the Blowfish LP, Cracked Rear View. I only want to be with you. So Darius Rucker, who is 58 today, goes through, and by the way, still tours with Hootie. There's still Hootie dates you can find. And then a decade and a fraction ago says, I'm from South Carolina. I grew up listening to country. I think I'm going to do some country records. And America went, please, sir, can we have another? And so he's enormously popular as a country artist as well. So good for Darius Rucker, you know, on his 58th birthday. All right, 866-660-5759. Let's hit the phone lines before I give some thoughts here on the Michael Cohen testimony. Let's roll up, I want to say, Grayson County, just east of Sherman. We're in Bells, Texas. Jeff, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Mark, doing great, man. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
And we go way back. I've been listening to you for decades.
Thank you.
A little throwback, producer Jeff Williams, his daughter, I think her name was Abby. She went to school with my oldest son, Jake.
Yes, and just got married and had a baby not so very long ago. They're just there, and his son Dustin is doing a baseball coaching at the college ranks. Jeff and Kathy they're doing great. I talk to them all the time.
We just had our first grandson by Jake. He's 9 months old now, and it's crazy how God can spread love through all your kids. You can have four kids, which we do. And you love each of them the same.
That's it. Crazy. That's it. You betcha. Blessings all around.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm calling because I text Mike earlier hoping he might throw this at you when you guys were discussing topics. But as excited as we are, the conservatives are about Trump just trouncing Biden right now in the polls. You know, 100,000 people show up in Wildwood. We're still going to go to sleep on November 5th. And wake up the next morning with all these shenanigans, What can we do, man?
Okay, here's the answer. Here's the answer. Show up with such relentless passion that even when they suddenly discover bucket loads of Biden votes or whoever votes in the wee hours, that it's still not enough. If it ain't close, their cheating won't matter.
I really hope that's the case, We got to sweep this whole entire administration out of there.
That's it. And down ballot from there as well, because we got to have an expanded lead and an expanded majority in the House. And we got to take back the Senate so that we can actually do some delicious one party rule to help dig this country out of this current hole. Jeff, thank you. Appreciate it very much. Best to you and the whole family. We are in Dallas. Ruth Ann. Hey, Mark Davis. Welcome. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
I am great.
Awesome. Well, I was just talking to Rhonda, and I wanted to call in and possibly get a little free PR for Jack Blocker. He attended Trinity Christian Academy.
Yes, he's
2017 graduate.
If for those who don't know, this may be one of the best seasons of American Idol in a long time, and I've watched it with some enthusiasm, wavering enthusiasm. Some folks win, and I just don't care. Other folks don't win, and they become like Jennifer Hudson and Daughtry didn't win and have become huge stars. Jack Blocker, right out of Dallas, is one of the most original, amazing. Listen, I may have to play something of him coming out of at 8:30. So good, so incredibly talented, and I hope he wins the whole thing.
Yeah, it's so great. It's just a great family. They attend Watermark Church, and like I said, at Trinity Christian, he's going to be coming to the school next week to do his hometown
family. Oh my gosh, that's right, because when you get down to here, they send everybody back to their respective hometowns. It's always just it tugs at the heartstrings. It's just fantastic. Ruthann, thank you very much. And again, just throw it. Well, you know what, everybody, even if you haven't been watching at all, coming up this coming Sunday, watch and vote early and often, because you can, I think 10 times or something, for Jack Blocker in American Idol. Quick radio story on this. So I was listening to my buddy George Dunham over on the ticket when American Idol started. And he said, listen, we got this Dallas kid named Jack Blocker, and he's just incredibly good. And he was playing, and George is in a band called the Bird Dogs. And at one event, they were doing some gig in somebody's big, giant backyard. And they met this young man named Jack Blocker. And he says, yeah, I play some guitar and I sing and I write a couple of songs. And they said, well, come on up and do a couple of songs with us. And they did. And it was great. And it was like, wow, this guy's unbelievably talented. And the next thing you know, Jack Blocker is on Idol. And now out of thousands and then hundreds and then dozens and then 14 and then 12 and whatever. He's in the final three. But here's the weird thing. Your judges are Lionel Richie and Katy Perry for the last year. She's done. They got to find somebody to replace her. My money is on Meghan Trainor, who's been kind of charming this past season, and Luke Bryan. And Luke, so you got three judges. So in your audition, two of the judges have to advance you so you can go to Hollywood and, you know, start your journey toward eventually becoming the American Idol. And he didn't get Luke voted for him. Katy said no. Lionel said no. And Luke, like, nearly bust a vein. He said, what? Because he's kind of, I don't know if you want to say he's an acquired taste. He has an interesting sort of Joe Cocker facial contortion thing going, which might have been a little weird and off-putting. He's calmed that down ever since. But how has he been still there? Because they threw it to the crew. The there was almost open revolt among the camera people and the tech people and the assistant directors and the people in the truck outside the rehearsal hall. It's like, what? So they gave a guy the staff vote, and thus Jack Blocker survived in American Idol at the front end, and now here he is in the in the top three. Let me let you hear some of this cat. He is that good. And let me let you hear some news from Nikki Whaley first. I'm Mark Davis, 831.
Dirt broke in a cloud of smoke on the road from Northern Queen.
This guy is going to be a big star, whether he wins American Idol or not.
So it seems
Dallas boy makes good. The great Jack Blocker. This is Elbow Grease, which he has already gone into a studio and recorded. Kind of hit the ground running no matter what happens with Idol next week and the week after. No, next week is a finale, isn't it? Anyway, just the great. And here, let me go back and... here is a little bit of they have them. They're doing covers of various other songs. Last night was just the annual beating of Disney Night, and Disney owns ABC, and I get it. And you want to plug the Disney Hawaii Resort where they do stuff, that's fine. And take everybody to Disney World. I don't even care about that, but they make everybody, and you got Jack Blocker. And two guys who basically are of the country discipline, and you shackle them with Disney songs. It's just an absolute beating. Anyway, though, back a couple of weeks, here was Jack doing a little bit of Willie's Always On My Mind.
If I made you feel second best, girl, I'm sorry I was blind. Always on my mind. You're always on my mind.
He's just great. He has there's a timbre to his voice when he's just sort of operating at half speed, and then he hits those upper registers, and just God bless Jack Blocker, man. That's just great. Just great. All right, here's a head-snapping pivot. Let's go from the great talents of a wonderful, upstanding local fellow to Michael Cohen. Voof. Credibility issues, his weird TikTok videos. He's just another terrible witness. And the media culture and the prosecution and the Trump haters, but oops, I repeat myself, they just need him to be great. And Michael Cohen, of course, was once a loyal employee of President Trump, now a sworn enemy. And he's come under fire for speaking out about the case on TikTok, while, of course, Trump is gagged and silenced in Judge Juan Merchan's one-sided and unconstitutional gag order. New York Times reporter Suzanne Craig on MSNBC, her quote was, his lack of impulse control in all of this is remarkable. He went out on Twitter and said, I'm not going to say anything else. And then he was out on TikTok, live video with a shirt of Donald Trump behind bars. Michael Cohen is a complete grifter. Now, of course, the haters love him because anybody who is in Trump's world and then comes out of Trump's world and then savages Trump is a hero, a total hero. What will he be talking about today? He will explain his role in arranging the $130,000 payment in 2016 to Stormy Daniels to allegedly silence her story about an encounter with Trump 10 years earlier in 06. And what they say that whether the jury believes his account should be central to the case's success, and yes, that's true up to a point, but even larger than that, does it even matter? Cohen could properly and even fairly accurately describe the methodology by which he funneled $130,000 of Trump's money to Stormy Daniels, and it still doesn't mean any crime was committed. It still doesn't mean that that is damaging if the jury has a clear eye toward this, and that's an enormous if. Does the jury have a clear and unbiased eye toward this? But Trump will be all over the place going into the we'll try to capture him going into the courtroom today. Oh my. That's kind of funny because Judge Mershon has not gagged Trump against saying things about him, because that would make it look like, ooh, I'm the judge, I'm a snowflake. But he has said you can't say anything about the witnesses, even if the witnesses are savaging you daily in interviews and in TikTok videos. In court on Friday, Judge Mershon did direct the prosecutors to instruct Cohen to stop making comments about the case and Trump ahead of taking the witness stand. But isn't this crazy? They did not impose a gag order. And the prosecutor said, we'll tell him. We'll give him the message. Oh, thanks. That did not stop Michael Cohen from doing TikTok live videos about the case, speculating about Trump going to prison, and even fundraising through viewer donations during the trial. On one of those, he said, Trump 2024? More like Trump 20 to 24 years in prison. He thinks he is so clever. So Jonathan Turley, who is awesome, says that Cohen is a serial perjurer making money off the case. Trump's attorneys came in pretty ferociously on Stormy Daniels for trying to monetize her Trump hostility. And Cohen has just always been a grifter. And the problem is a political and legal system that enables him as a serial liar. You know who else has even, I don't know if you could really call it Trump's side, even though anything that's anti-Cohen is Trump's side. Michael Avenatti. Michael Avenatti is in prison right now for his own misdeeds. He first represented Stormy in her lawsuits against Trump. He doesn't think that the state can win the case without the jury believing and liking Cohen, which even Michael Avenatti says is a tall order. Here's a quote from him with Fox News Digital from prison. They have to call him, Avenatti said, because there's nobody that links Trump to these reimbursements and this supposed conspiracy. There is no witness that can carry the water on these critical points other than Michael Cohen. And if I'm the state, he says, I'm incredibly nervous about that, because at this point, you don't want to stake anything on Michael Cohen. The guy is a complete disaster of a witness. And so as Cohen has hit, and just once again, I guess, how many times is this? Maybe 36, 37 times I've said, I've lost count. What a total outrage it is that this is not on television. You should be able to see what a joke of a witness Michael Cohen is. Every courtroom should have cameras. States can handle this, differently. And, obviously the states should have. I mean, this should be a state latitude thing. Does a state have a right to bar cameras from the courtroom? I mean, I think there's a strong First Amendment. So print reporters, if you are a reporter and what you have is a pad and a pencil, you can go in. But if you are a reporter and your tools are audio and video recording equipment, you cannot go in. That seems wildly anti-First Amendment to me. Just saying. And it is because it's our business being done in there. It is our business being done in every courtroom. There should be a camera capacity for every courtroom in America. But even without that, some of the protection racket media around Joe Biden have to admit that this is tough sledding. Washington Post reporter Devlin Barrett referred to Cohen as a flawed witness who's been called hopeless and a jerk in front of the jury. The jury also heard that a witness thought Cohen was going to kill himself when he learned Trump didn't plan to give him a job in the White House. Ah, that speaks to stability. Some reports have noted this has been purposeful by the prosecution as a way of softening the blow when Cohen testifies and does not do well. ABC News recently published an article saying that Cohen's TikTok actions could be problematic. Defense attorney Jeremy Saland, who used to work in the Manhattan DA's office, told ABC News that Trump's legal team can use Cohen's actions to tear down his credibility. Do tell. Do tell. So here comes Michael Cohen. And on Thursday of this past week, in anticipation of all this, a CNN, how do these people keep getting on CNN saying stuff like this, debated Cohen's credibility. Arthur Idala said, if there's any human being on the planet whose picture should be next to the definition of reasonable doubt, it's Michael Cohen. That's just a history of being a liar and a fraud. So it's here we go. Michael Cohen Day in court. All right, let me pause, come back. And it was also quite the weekend for the media trying to cover for Joe Biden's betrayal of Israel. And as we work our way into the 9 o'clock hour, both Brent Hagenboom and Jace Yarbrough, one of whom will be the new Texas senator in Senate District 30, were both on Lone Star Politics, the Channel 5 weekend political show. I'll let you hear some of both of them. And we, of course, love hearing from you at 866-660-5759. And that is also, of course, the Via Skin of Las Colinas text line. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. His face is black, but she is shown the proof. Skirt is short, but Lord, her legs are sturdy to walk to school. 1973. She's got to get up early. The album was Inner Visions. Living for the City. Living just enough for the city. I was hooked. Too High, Golden Lady, Higher Ground. Don't You Worry About a Thing. The incomparable Stevie Wonder. He was 23 for that. He is 74 today. All righty. Texas Congressman, 10th District, stretches between sort of from southeast Austin to northwest Houston. And he was on this week with Martha Raddatz filling in for Stephanopoulos. And it's just all about the media narrative versus the reality narrative of what's going on in the Hamas war.
But to say you cannot invade Rafah, we're telling the Israelis, dictating their military strategy. This is the last point, the last step in the completion of their military objective. And for us to step in and say, no, you can't go into Rafah and finish the job, I think it's tantamount to an arms embargo. It's also very similar for us to say in World War II, hey, like my dad's generation, you can invade all the way up to Berlin, but you can't go into Berlin to finish the job. And Chris Coons is right. Until we do that, we will never have
Democrat of Delaware
of the resolution, the peace resolution that I think everybody wants.
Do you think what President Biden has done, pausing those weapons, would really make a difference? The Israelis basically say they have everything they need right now, even for a full-scale assault. So why does this pause really matter in terms of Rafah, if that is in fact what they decide to do?
Once again, media protection racket. It doesn't really matter. It just stop making all these points about the abandonment of Israel and not giving them various types of weaponry, which, by the way, are of the precision technology that should satisfy a lot of the Israel bashers who are saying, oh, the war's been too sloppy, too much collateral damage.
Well, it may not matter. I know it doesn't matter with respect to Israel. Netanyahu has said, and I've talked to him, I'm going to do this alone if I have to. You know where it matters, Martha, is a signal and the message we're sending the rest of the world that you can't count on the United States, can't trust the United States, that our allies, right, our allies and our enemies see this as well. So if our allies and friends see this as a trust issue, if the Saudis say part of this peace deal want to buy military equipment from the United States, how are they going to trust us? And the rest of the world looks at this. Iran looks at this. Yahya Sinwar got a victory by this administration without a shot fired from him. And I think Russia and China are right there looking at this, too.
Precisely right. Precisely right. So how much more of this the American people going to tolerate? How much more shame? How much more incompetence? How much more willful blindness? How much more? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are we ready for change? Are we ready to take this sorry, sorry status quo domestically and internationally and do something about it? 170 some days. It can't be November 5th fast enough. But I'll tell you what, it could be May 28th pretty fast. That's 2 weeks from tomorrow. Let me come out of this hour into the next. A little more of the national news over the weekend. More of your calls at 866-660-5759. Your texts, same number via scan of Las Colinas text line. But in that Senate District 30 where Drew Springer is going out, taking his Ken Paxton hatred into the private sector, you have Brent Hagenbuch and Jace Yarbrough. Both of them were on the Channel 5 weekend show. Let you hear a little bit of that and various other things as well as we come off a weekend and to help you enjoy the beginning of your Monday, the 13th day of May. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.